Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
You may be seated. Good morning, LifeLink. How's everybody doing? Come on, I'm so excited to be here. As a matter of fact, I believe a happy birthday's in order, right? Come on, happy 12th birthday, LifeLink Church. Can you guys just celebrate it? Awesome. Awesome. We are so excited about what God is doing at LifeLink Church. I was celebrating with you all and Pastor Dave and Cherie online. 387 decisions for Jesus last year. 98 water baptisms. Come on, you ought to shout. That's big stuff, everybody. That is so, so exciting. And so we for those of you that don't know me, again, as Pastor said, my name is Ron Nelson, and I've been on the journey with LifeLink for, well, it was nearly 6 years. And then about 2.5 years ago, my family and I went to Atlanta, Georgia to pastor an existing church called Eastgate Church. And so we are excited to be here. The sun came out for us. I'm so excited about that. We get a lot of rain in Atlanta, and we get a lot of cloudy days, but it's been awesome. It's been great. I just want you to know that we're proud of you, and we're celebrating all that God is doing in and through you. Everybody that's sitting here, everybody that's a part of this church, we're so honored and excited for what God's doing. As a matter of fact, I thought, Pastor Dave, I would remind everybody a little bit of something, a good piece of information here. So here's the thing. We're in the Southeast Phoenix Valley, is that right? Come on, this is a great place. Jesus is here. He's doing something great. He's on the move, right? He's doing it through LifeLink Church. But there's a lot of great churches in the area. You know that, right? Because you pray for one every single Sunday. And I want you to know that is true. Pastor and I have friends all around this valley, and they are great people and great churches. And one of the many things I love about Pastors Dave and Cherie in this church is that there's no competition. Nobody's trying to compare. We actually want to celebrate what God's doing in and through our community, right? Come on, isn't that good? That's so good. But I want to remind those of you that have been around for a while, those of you that have been at LifeLink for a while, I want to remind you of something, that you are in a special place. Let me say that one more time. You are in a special place. Yeah. Yeah. If you're new today, maybe you're a guest or maybe you've been here for a couple weeks. Great news for you. I'm leaving. So you need to come back. So it's good. And hopefully I'll be able to come back. But next week you need to come back and hear the pastor of the house. But listen, if you're new, I want you to know you're in a special place. Why is it special? Because God's hand is on LifeLink Church. There's a special anointing. There's a special mantle. There's a special mandate. There's something that God started 12 years ago on Super Bowl Sunday with a couple dozen people and 11 pages of paper stapled together. And 12 years in, God just got started. Come on, you're in a special place. And so if you've been around for a while, listen, now's your time. Don't get casual. Don't get comfortable. You're in a special place. And I can say that all the way from Atlanta. So we're so excited to be here. And it's been an awesome journey so far. And I want to just kind of declare before I jump in to the message with you this morning. One of the scriptures that I mentioned and that I spoke about at our church on December 31st, New Year's Eve, came out of the book of Psalm. And Pastor, I just love to just declare that in this atmosphere that I think is really saturated with faith this morning. Come on, are you guys believing God to do something? Are you believing God to speak to you, for you? Because here's the thing, He will speak to us corporately. He'll do that because we're gathered together. But what He's really after is what He wants to tell you, what He wants to show you. And so Psalm 65, verse 11, not in your notes, you could write it down if you're an extra note taker, reads this way. It says, you, talking about God, it says, you crown the year with your goodness. Come on, we're 7 weeks in. 7 weeks into the new year, and maybe it hasn't quite gone the way you thought. Maybe things haven't started out this year the way that you've been hoping and expecting, but let me encourage you, church, guest, LifeLink family, don't hijack, don't give up on the 45 weeks left. The Bible says that God crowns the year with His goodness. Now it goes on. Are you ready? Are you ready? And it says, your paths drip with abundance. Oh, come on, that'll preach right there. You ought to tweet that a little bit. So you crown the year with your goodness, God, and your paths drip with abundance. You say, why are you saying that? Because I want you to know and not forget you're in a special place. And I want to honor my pastor and your pastors, Dave and Cherie, because they are true pastors. You want to know why? Because pastors are, their assignment from heaven is to lead you on a path, to fulfill your God-given destiny. That's what a pastor does. If you study shepherds in the Old Testament, they led sheep from pasture to pasture to pasture. Why? To fulfillment, to destiny, to making a difference, to having a full and whole life. And so the scripture says, if you'll get on God's path, everybody, it'll drip with his abundance. It'll drip with his abundance. And so that really sets me up for today, because Pastor Dave and Cherie have trusted me enough to really run this third lap with you, part three of the Maxed Out series. So if you're new with us, we are in a series called Maxed Out. And it's really a financial freedom series. And so I'm excited, Pastor Dave, and I'm honored that you let me run this leg with LifeLink. And so if you got by the greeters and you didn't get message notes, go ahead. I think they're going to move to the auditorium at some point. Here they come. Raise your hand if you need those. You're going to want to write it down. We got a lot to cover, and the clock doesn't stop. So you're going to want those notes. If you're a smartphone user, you can pull up the YouVersion app, find LifeLink Church, and you can take notes that way. If you're streaming online, we want to say welcome. We encourage you to take notes as well and enjoy the journey with us. So we're going to dive right in. Part two last week, by the way, if you don't know this, we like stalk you from Atlanta. Like, I watch everything. I watch what you do. I listen to the messages. I cheer you on. I celebrated Vision Sunday. We are just family. We just are separated by distance. And I watched week two last week. I've watched it two times now, Pastor Dave. And I loved how Pastor Dave was talking last week about our attitude towards money. Our attitude towards money, towards finances. And this week we're going to talk about breaking financial bondage. Now, whether you know it or not, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but many people, especially in America and in the Western culture, struggle with financial bondage. So let me say this. If you're sitting here and you're like, man, I don't have that problem. I'm doing great with money. My attitude towards money is great. Week one, Pastor talked about choosing freedom. I've chosen freedom. Then listen for somebody else, because chances are your neighbor, your coworker, whoever is living down the street from you in the cul-de-sac, they're struggling with financial bondage. And so maybe you're okay. Well, great. Take this home for somebody else. So we're going to dive right in. Are you guys ready? Are you sure? All right, here we go. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 6. In your notes on the screen behind me says, now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. It's a great way to start a message, isn't it? It gets better, all right? But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Verse 8 says, then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Verse 14, we're skipping ahead for sake of time, says, they made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields and all their hard labor. The Egyptians used them ruthlessly. So you might be sitting there saying, that has nothing to do with money. Don't ever have that guy back here again. He doesn't know the Bible. Listen to me. This is a story in the Old Testament history that happened. But I want to tell you that. Let me give you a little context to why this deals with breaking financial bondage as we're talking about this part three in our series. Joseph was a man who was sent to Egypt to help the children of Israel get through a famine. And he did that, but the goal was not for the children of Israel to stay in Egypt. They were only supposed to be there temporarily and then go back to the promised land or the place that God originally intended for them to be. But unfortunately, what happened to them happens to us sometimes, and we'll connect the dots financially in a minute, was they got comfortable. They got comfortable and they got so used to their new reality, they ended up becoming slaves to their new normal. Maybe you didn't hear me say that. They got used to their new reality. How many of you know we're creatures of habit and we can get used to a new reality, a new norm, a new cadence of life, even if it's not good for us? Come on, I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty of that. And so they were no different. And so they became slaves to their new normal. And I think that can be true for many of us when it comes to finances. And one of the things I love about this church is that this church is all about helping you find freedom. All about helping you walk in the path that God laid out for you so it would drip with his abundance. And so let me give you some stats. Let's just talk about the facts. Let's talk about the realities of debt, and then we'll get to the good stuff, right? Because you want to hear something that you can apply to your life, right? Truth, so that you can be changed. Am I in the room? Am I in the right room? Is it the right people? Okay, here we go. Couple stats. Not so exciting, but it gets better. A report from USA Today in November of last year, so this is not a 10-year-old statistic, a statistic from generation ago, like 3 months ago, said that the average American household has $16,883 in credit card debt. Ooh, baby. $29,549 in auto loan debt. This is the average, might not be you, but average. A staggering $50,626 in student loans. November of last year, this is hot off the press, everybody. And as a result, an average college grad is carrying almost $100,000 in debt, not including a house, not including a mortgage. And so what we see kind of in our culture is that many of us have maybe slipped into the trap the children of Israel did, getting, they stayed in Egypt instead of going into the promised land that God had intended for them, and then slip into this bondage to the point to where we get so used to financial bondage or debt that we become oppressed by the circumstances that come with it, and it becomes a norm. Like everybody's doing it. Like, psh. I mean, you know what psh means. Do you know what that means? Like, try it again. Psh. You know, like, just whatever. Like, meh. Who has a meh shirt? M-E-H. Meh. We sometimes think about that when it comes to debt. So let's talk about this. Realities of debt. I thought about this. I thought either Pastor Dave really trusts me. I think that's it. Really trust me with this message, or he just didn't want to preach it. But I think... No. I mean, you know, he's not afraid of anything. He'll go up the middle and he'll lead the way. So he's not trying to get out of nothing up here. So anyways, I hope I can come back, Pastor. I mean, you know, he'll yank me off the stage too if I don't. So, and he should. This is his house, not mine. So let's talk about realities of debt. If you're taking notes, write this down. Debt obligates us to someone other than God. Debt obligates us to someone other than God. Why? Let me tell you why. Because debt, what happens is we spend our energy, our emotion, and our efforts paying them back. Right? We're all smart in this room. Think about it for a minute. We spend our energy and our effort and our emotion paying them back. And let me add this to the equation. And sometimes it takes a long time. For example, for those of you that have a wallet in your pocket or in your purse, if you pulled out one of those credit cards, one of the 8 or 9 that you might have, if you pull out one of those credit cards, let's say one of those credit cards has a $2,000 balance on it, okay? It's probably average. And let's say you don't buy anything else on that card, you just hang on to that card and you pay off the $2,000 credit card. Let's say that that credit card has an 18% annual interest rate, which is average. And let's say you only pay the minimum payment to pay off the $2,000. Are you ready? This will blow your mind. Guess how long that takes? 30 years. I am not making it up. 30 years. And not only does it take 30 years and you're spending your time, your effort, your energy, and your emotion on paying it off. You ready? You pay 146% more at the end of the 30 years. That $2,000 becomes just shy of $5,000. So come on, when debt obligates us to someone other than God. Think of car loans right now. Nothing, we all need a car. We all got to drive a car. But think about it now. They are pushing you to pay for a vehicle for 7 years. Let me break that down for you. That's 84 payments. And the average car payment last year was $493. Whoa, baby. Debt obligates us to someone other than God. And let me just end with this little statistic. This blew me away. Most student loan terms are 30 years, just like your mortgage, just like your house. And so debt obligates us to someone other than God. Number two, God wants his people free of debt. Write that down if you're taking notes. God wants his people free of debt. Let me say it again. God wants his people free of debt. That's what he wants. Deuteronomy 28 reads this way, verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Sounds good so far. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from how many? Okay, are you with me still? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. How many of you heard of that one? That's a shouting verse. But we usually shout it right out of context. I'm the head and not the tail. If you got that $2,000 credit card bill that you're paying off and it takes 30 years and you got that 7-year car loan for $493, you are not the head, you are the... All right, never mind. So, he goes on. I'll explain that to you. It's not that either. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Verse 14 says, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. I did a little study. For those of you that know me, I'm a little bit of a teacher, a little bit of a preacher. So I did a little bit of a study. And the terminology head and tail isn't what you think it is. It has everything to do with authority. In other words, he's referencing if you are the lender and you owe no man no thing, then you are the head, which means you're a ruler or a governor. I wrote it down this way. You're in a place of authority or opportunity. The tail means the commoner, that subject to that authority. In other words, if we're the tail, if we spend our whole life, our energy, our effort, and our emotions on paying someone back, the tail is a place of bondage or obligation. That's the real context of Deuteronomy 28. So now you got a whole nother perspective on head and tail. And you can be the head and not the tail. If you will get on God's path, if you will lean into everything that Pastor Dave is teaching you about maxed out and say, God, I'm tired of being obligated. I'm tired of being subjected to bondage and people who are really ruling my life because I'm spending my life paying them back. Number three, realities of debt. Debt has the possibility of dictating our future. It really does. Can I take a drink? Okay. I'll drink after him and my wife, and that's about it. I probably won't even drink after my own children. Number three, debt. Come on, when your kids drink stuff, there's stuff in the bottle. All right. Nasty. You're like, well, you share their germs. Not if I don't have to. All right. So debt has the possibility of dictating our future. See, God wants us to be free of debt, everybody. Listen, so that we can fulfill our destiny. Debt was not God's idea. It's our culture's idea. As a matter of fact, we cheer it on. We champion it all the time. But that's not God's way. That's not God's path for you to experience his goodness and his abundance. And number four, realities of debt. Excuse me. Debt can affect our relationship with God, our family, and our marriage. Let me just throw out a statistic nobody likes to hear, but it's just true. In the context of the married relationship, most people, whether they're believers or Christians or not, get divorced for one of two reasons. Top two reasons is financial problems. And guess what number two is? Are you ready? Communication. And I'm going on a whim here to say, I bet it's the communication about the money, and so it's a double whammy. Am I right? So, hey, listen, debt can affect our relationship with God, our family, and our marriage. I said all that to talk about, well, then how do we get free? How do we get free? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the scripture gives us great, great insight. And we're going to call these next 4 points, and then I'm going to pray and sit down. Bondage breakers. Everybody say bondage.
Bondage.
Breakers.
Breakers.
So we're going to talk. Who's ready to break some bondage? Come on, we just sang about here, now. Come on, all about, we want to do it now, not in another year, not in 5 years. Let's get on God's path and get free of all this mess. And listen, you're in a safe place. At the end of this, I'm not going to take a survey and see how much debt you have. We're not going to do that. By the way, the offering's already been taken, so we're done with that. Just want to help you get free, all right? So number one, how do I get free from financial bondage? Commit to God to get out of debt. Now, that might sound like something a pastor would say, but notice the fill-ins. Commit to God. Commit to Him. I would say I wouldn't even get started to commit to your wife or family first. Commit to God first and say, I commit to you, God, to get on your path of success, to get on your path that would drip with abundance and provision. I commit to you. Romans 13:8. Says, let no debt remain outstanding, ready? I love it, except the continuing debt to love one another. Like the only debt that we're supposed to carry through life is to love one another. And it's a continuing debt. That's the only debt we don't pay off, but we like paying it. Why? Because we feel like we're making a difference in the lives of people around us. And so he says, hey, don't let a debt remain outstanding. Continually love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. I'm convinced that many people, and I've been in this season in life before, they're such in financial bondage that they can't even take a moment to look up from their life because they're so enamored with paying the man. How many of you heard that phrase? Paying the man, I don't even know, that's probably 10 years old by now. Gosh, I'm getting old. But here's the thing, I'll be 45 soon. Man, that we can't even take the time to pay off a debt from God to love someone else because we're so busy paying off all of our debts to others. And God wants us to get to a place to say, there's only one thing you owe, and that's love the people around you. I'm convinced that that could be some of your struggles here, and I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're at as far as your spiritual journey. One of the things I love about LifeLink is you can just get on one here. In other words, this is a safe place. Can I say this? If you're new, and no matter where you're at on the spiritual spectrum, you're new to church, new to God, maybe you're coming back, you're giving God another shot, you can figure out your faith here. You can figure out your faith here. That's what's so great and special about LifeLink is they don't have a spiritual measuring rod that they kind of put up to you when you walk in the door, like, do you measure up? No, this is a life-giving place. This is a life-giving church. And so when we talk about this, I think for some of you, if you're in financial bondage like these statistics say, that's the reason why you said no to the growth trap. No, I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to help you get free. Like, I love you. I want what's best for you. I want what Pastor Zave and Sheree want for you. But it's very possible that you've said no to the growth track because you're in such financial bondage. But listen, LifeLink is a place where you can pay the debt of loving one another week in, week out, week in. Like, they provided a path for you, and it starts on the growth track. And you say, man, I'm heard the growth track so much. What is it? It's where you discover the second most important day of your life, and that's why you're here. Is that right, Pastor Dave? You discover, why am I here? What's my purpose? And every one of you in this room has a God-designed, God-ordained purpose, gift. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, I wish I could teach on this, but I can't. talks about that the gift of God on the inside of you is a picture of God's grace to everyone around you. We pray for God's grace, Pastor Lonrie, all the time, but what I didn't realize until a few years ago was God's grace looks like Pastor Amy Carlini. Are you with me? All of you have a gift. So maybe because of this bondage, you're so tied up with pain back and emotions and all that that you're not in the growth track. Or maybe that's why you maybe went to the growth track, but you haven't gotten on the dream team yet. That's where you love other people continually. Like they've made up their mind, if you're a guest, if you're going to come back next week, long before I got up here. And thank God for the dream team. As a matter of fact, can you give everybody a hand that serves in this house some way, some shape, some form? Come on, it's awesome. Maybe that's why some of you struggle and you won't sit one and serve one. I say, man, do they just need more help? I knew it. There's always an angle. There's no angle. They don't need more people. You need to get involved. You need to sit one, serve one. Why? Because you need to fill up before you pour out. Come on. Come on. You can't give what you don't have. And so I don't know about you, but I told Pastor Dave, and I've learned from the best. He said, hey, what do you need? What do you need? You know, everybody's always amazing serving me. And I'm like, I just need to make sure I don't miss 2 seconds of worship. Like, I want to be on that front row. Holler. I got Chris, Pastor Dave. They can sing, they can carry a tune. I cannot. So I'm just down there, rah, 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 and you might think, what is he doing? I'm worshiping. I'm sorry if you heard me, but I'm worshiping. I need Jesus. I can't get up here and give you everything I have if I don't have anything to give. Come on. So you might be sitting there saying, well, I just hand out a worship guide. Let me tell you what, we can't have church if you don't hand out that worship guide. Well, you know what? I might be back in the nursery, and I'm just wiping babies' butts. I mean, that's all I'm doing. Can I say thank you, baby butt wipers? Because, yes, because two reasons. One, I ain't doing it. That's not my gift. I know for sure. I took the disc test and everything. Butt wipers is not in there. I was like, thank you, Jesus. But because of you, a mom or a dad or both can come in here in this anointed place, free of distraction, knowing that somebody is not only taking care of their kiddo naturally, but spiritually, like speaking life over these babies while they're rocking them. I mean, come on. So being on the dream team, maybe some of you are struggling to get into a life group. You want to serve people. You want to pay back this debt that will be a lifetime to pay back, that God says, this is what I've destined you for. Get into a life group. Listen, Sunday is not for intimate relationship. Do you know how hard it is to get connected when you're on rows? But man, when you do life in a circle, like a small one. That is. Whoever said that, you're right. So here's the thing. Got an amen corner over there. That's what I like. Come on. Come on from Atlanta, man. People have been preaching you down. I like it. So here's the thing. Life, I don't know what I said, but it was funny. Small groups, life groups, excuse me, we call them small groups at our church. Life groups, I like life groups better. Life groups do a couple things. See, because community, listen, creates closeness. Community creates closeness. Closeness cultivates compassion. This is not in your notes. Compassion produces care for one another. Is that Leslie behind me? Oh, yeah, I can feel it. Okay. I missed that. We're talking about bondage breakers. Number two. I got to bring this in for a landing. Put God first in your finances moving forward. Commit to God and put Him first in your finances moving forward. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I don't know if you've ever studied that out, but all these things are the things that we swipe a credit card for. All these things are the things that we labor and toil. And God says, listen, if you'll flip that around. Put me first financially. I know Pastor Dave will teach more on that. He can do it way better than I can. I'll take care of the stuff that's got you in bondage. You can study it for yourself. And if you're a Christ follower in this room, and if you're not, that's okay. But Jesus chooses to put another little caveat in Matthew chapter 6 in that context. And he says, hey, by the way, Christ followers, the Gentiles worry about all that stuff. In other words, he's saying the unbelievers get all caught up into that bondage. Why are you getting free, getting free? Come on, we're close. Number three, don't acquire any more debt. Like, stop the bleeding. My youngest daughter has a really bad habit. Like, when she falls, she plays basketball, and so she had a game a couple weeks ago. She's playing. You know, when they're in fifth and sixth grade, they pretty much stink, right? They're just trying to figure out, where's the ball, you know? I mean, the whole time my daughter hears the basket, and she's all... And I'm like, the basket's that way. Look for the ball. And she fell down. She scraped her knee, and she has this kind of this habit, and she just can't help herself. She just picks at it. And a couple hours later, I'm bleeding. I know, because you're picking. Stop picking, and you won't. Come on. Listen, don't acquire any more debt. You'll never get out of that hole if you keep digging in it. God wants you to get out of that hole. You say, how can I stop acquiring more debt? I'll give you a practical solution. Create two lists, a need to and a want to. A need to and a want to. Let me give you a real practical example. I wish I would have brought it up here and I didn't. I went to the cell phone store. Come on, how many of you go to the cell phone store? I went to the cell phone store. Had to get something fixed on my daughter's phone. And, you know, they saw me coming because they look up your account. Hey, let's see if everything's still the same. I know what you're doing. Shut up, man, and just fix my phone. And so they're I didn't say any of that. I'm thinking that. And you're like, God, this guy's a pastor? Yeah, listen, I'm only anointed to preach it, not live it. I'm just like you. So look. So we get it all fixed. And, of course, they're trying to get me to upgrade. Right? Hey, you know you're up for an upgrade. Yeah, I know that. So I entertain him. Tell me about the upgrade. So he's telling me about the upgrade. And of course, hey, everybody, listen. Some of these young, amazing people right here have a better phone than I do. So I got an iPhone 6. Yeah. Same phone I had when I was with you. He's like, brother, you need to get into an 8 or a 10, and he's trying to talk me into it. In that moment, listen, because I want to be free financially, I made a decision, said, you know what? I want that, but I don't need that for another $40 a month. The one I got's paid for, and you just keep upgrading your iOS systems, and I'll be just fine. You just keep doing that. Well, you got glasses, brother. You need a bigger screen. Okay, now, no, I'm just kidding. Listen, don't acquire any more debt. How many, aren't you just sick of having more month than money? Come on, I've been there before. I get it. And number four, bondage breakers, develop a written plan. You got to get a vision. Got to see it. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Another translation, NIV, says it this way: where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. I added one more, not in your notes. It's a paraphrase, but it says it so well. Listen close, Message paraphrase. If people can't see what God is doing, if you can't see the path to financial freedom, I'm going to add that in, they stumble all over themselves. I'm talking about finances right now. But when they attend to what he reveals, sounds like Psalm 65:11, when you'll discover the path, but not just discover it, get on it. When you'll attend to it, you work on it, make the change. Don't be like the children of Israel, stuck in a new reality and being a slave to the new normal and actually thinking it's normal when it's not, it's bondage. says when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You know, before we read this last scripture, one of the things that I've been watching you all do through your life groups is, you know, LifeLink Church, one of the things I appreciate amongst many is they not only lay out a path, but they resource you to get on the path. Like, I know they have a group going on a Wednesday night right now, going through a workbook, ABCs of financial freedom. You need to be here if this is you. Well, you know, I gotta work. Exactly. That's the problem. Be here at 7 o'clock. What is it, $5 for the workbook, Pastor Dave? $5. And I know this, it's free. All right, there we go. Somebody said it's free. Are they paying for it? No, I don't know. But here's what I know about LifeLink. I know what he's saying. Hey, if you can't pay for it, we'll buy it. Heck, I'll buy it. So you can experience freedom. So last scripture, and I gotta hand the service off, Joshua 1:8. So study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Breaking financial bondage. God's got a plan, he's got a path, and you're in a great place. I can't think of a better place where if you're struggling with that, get on the path, get on a plan. And let God lead you to freedom. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, I got that covered. Then great, find somebody who doesn't and help them. Help these pastors, help this church get people to this place. I have one more thought before we close. And I thought, how do you land a money message? Well, you take up an offering. No, how do you land a money message? And I thought for some of you in today, money is not the message you really needed to hear. You need to hear something deeper. Pastor Dave said in week one that money is not math. If you were here, you heard that. If not, you should watch or listen to it. Money is not math. And I'm going to take that a step further. Money is not math, but also money is not a religious obligation. Money is all about relationship. In the heart of God, money is all about relationship. He said, hey, where your treasure is, that's where you'll find your heart, or vice versa, where your heart is, there is where we will find your treasure. And it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. Let me say it to you this way, because maybe you're struggling with money. Maybe you came from a different faith persuasion or a different teaching, and just the word money in church just gets you all in a bad, dark place. And hopefully that's not the case here, because that's not how things are taught around here. It's a relational issue with God. And let me say this to you, if you're struggling with that, it's all about relationship. In other words, God wants you for who you are, not for what you can give to him. Did you hear what I said? I actually wrote this other one down because I didn't want to screw it up. Before you ever opened your hand, God is always reaching for your heart. So listen, I want to pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to lead you in a prayer. You might say, man, why do pastors do that? Because I'm not going to bow my head no matter what they say. Let me tell you why we ask you to do that. Because it's very possible that somebody down the road to your left or to your right is actually making a life-changing decision, and it's hard to have a private moment in a public place. So if you would do me the respect of just bowing your head, closing your eyes, and if you're good, you're good. You can silently pray for others. But I think there's people in here that need to hear the message that God isn't after my wallet. He's after my heart. He's after my life. You know, in John chapter 6 and in Romans chapter 10, Jesus says one thing two different ways, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and Pastor Dave's going to close the service. John chapter 6, Jesus says in essence this, any who come to me will never be rejected. Anybody. So no matter where you're at, financial bondage, maybe you walked in here and you just feel guilt and shame and you don't even know why you're in church. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He's reaching for you. And all he says is anybody who will even come my way, they will never be rejected. I'm sorry if you've been rejected by people. I'm sorry if you've been rejected by religion, but Jesus doesn't turn you away. And then in Romans chapter 10, he says the same thing, but a different way. He says, all who call upon me will always be accepted. some of you in this room need to step over that line and give Jesus your heart. Give him your life. He's not worried about your wallet. He wants you for who you are, not for what you have. So if you're in this place with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're like, I need to either A, give my life to God, like for real. He wants you just the way you are. Don't worry about how I have to change things and get better and cleaned up. No, 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 he wants you. He says, if you come my way, if you look my way, I'm not going to turn you away. I'm going to accept you. Or maybe you're in this room and you're like, you know what? I did that once. But you know, financial distraction came in, life happened. And if you're anything like anybody else in the room, sometimes we drift. You could be sitting in church but feel so far from God. Maybe that's you. Today might be your day to say, I need to come back to him. Like I need to restart. If you're in any one of those two places, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to slip up your hand, not because we're going to bring you down front, not because nobody else is looking at you, because I want to know who I'm praying with and who I'm praying for. And when I lead you in this prayer, mean it with all of your heart. And I'll say this to you, the prayer is not the end, it's the beginning of a brand new journey with Jesus, and you're in the best place to go on that journey. So if that's you and you're like, I'm in one of those two categories, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Just slip it up. Leave it up for a second. I'm going to look. I'm going to kind of count. And then I'm going to ask you to put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So if that's you, you need to come back to God, or you need to come to God for the first time. On the count of three, raise your hands. One, two, three. Come on, let me see your hands. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I see eight or so hands. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, I feel it in my spirit. There's another hand over there. Thank you, sir. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, listen, you can put your hands down. Whether you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you to pray this out loud. Mean it with all your heart. As a matter of fact, I'd love for everybody to join me. And let's all pray this together. But those of you that raised your hand or should have, mean it with all of your heart. And Pastor's going to come up and tell you how to get on this start with God or this restart with him. So pray something like this. Heavenly Father, today I'm calling upon you. I'm coming your way. Today, I commit my life to you. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for making room for me on this path. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can you give God a hand for life change in this place? It's awesome.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.